You are listening to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church.
23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. We send rockets into outer space as far as Mars and drive little rovers around on them. We even have members in our church who help to produce the parts for those rovers. We build skyscrapers that touch the upper reaches of the sky. We dive to the lower depths of the oceans with our submarines. We cure diseases and program computers to do incredible things. And we accumulate great wealth in the process. We run nations and armies. And yet we're still no better than that little five-year-old boy who thinks he's a Marvel superhero, or that little girl who thinks she is the Disney princess. We view ourselves as far more capable than we really are, more impressive than we actually are. We're not as big and self-sufficient as we imagine. And it's good to remember that. I can illustrate this by asking a fun question. If I were to ask you, what animal represents you the best? What's the animal with the qualities and features that is you, who you are? Even the adults in the room can stop and think about this. I'm not going to ask you to tell me what you think about yourself. But maybe things like a tiger. Maybe the more modest would say a golden retriever, a stallion, an eagle, a dolphin, a gazelle. When answering a question like this, we tend to envision ourselves as an animal that embodies some special or superior strength or skill or quality that we believe is good and impressive about us. But if you were to ask God, who made you, what animal am I like? He would say, you really want to know? You're really asking me that question? Yes. Inside we think, I have a hunch it's going to be good. And he says, I'll tell you because you asked. You're like a sheep. You think, well, that's cute. What is good about a sheep? And you have to stop and think about it. They look nice in the artist's pictures, but really, what is good about a sheep? Of course, they produce good meat, but that's really not something you want to be thinking about yourself. You don't envision yourself looking great in a picture. Not like that. What is good about a sheep? A sheep is an animal that is not flattering. A sheep is an animal that doesn't highlight any particular strength. There's no skill that a sheep possesses that is admirable. There is nothing about a sheep that is superior to anything that I know. Instead, a sheep highlights our helplessness, our weakness, our flaws, and reminds us, and here's the important point here, that we are helpless and weak. That's why we must always desperately rely on the Lord. To flourish as human beings and as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to embrace this reality with all of our heart. If we're going to thrive, then we have to stop insisting that we're capable people, that we are able to get done whatever needs to get done, that we are helpless apart from Him. Only when we embrace our weakness are we able to survive and thrive in our life as human beings. Only then can we enjoy the blessing, security, and the peace that we desire and God gives. We're like sheep. And because we're like sheep, we all need a shepherd. A sheep can't run well. A sheep can't hide well. A sheep can't choose its food very well and sometimes eats the wrong things. They can't work together well. They don't remember anything well. They don't choose their directions when they're moving well. They can't communicate well. They can't do, well, anything well. That's why one shepherd who became a pastor later on, Philip Keller, said, "Left to themselves, sheep lack everything. They are the most helpless animals on the planet." Sheep easily get lost and wander from the flock. They easily eat the wrong plants and drink polluted, bug-infested water. They fall down, and if they fall down in the wrong place, they can't get up. They get confused. They get spooked. Easily, they're doing fine 1 second, and the next second, they're off. They're easy prey for predators of all kinds. Predators in the air, predators on the ground, in the woods, in the valleys. Even little bugs can kill them. And they can kill themselves. We're more like sheep than we realize, not just when we're toddlers and not just when we're a baby Christian. Even the most mature believers in Faith Baptist Church are still like sheep. You are like a sheep, and that never will change. We're weak, we're fragile, we're helpless, we're easily discouraged, we're easily doubtful, easily offended, and easily tempted to sin, including the sin of pride and self-sufficiency that says, "I am so mature now, I'm not like a sheep anymore." Beware when you think you fall, or stand lest you fall. We never leave our weaknesses behind, do we? What are some weaknesses, some recent indicators in your own life that you're still a sheep? Stop and think back over the last day, last week, last month. Has there been any time that there has been words, feelings, behaviors in your life that are evidence that, yeah, you're still a sheep? You're still easily spooked. You're still easily scared. You get afraid sometimes. You have doubts that pop up. You get frustrated when you should have peace. You're afraid when you should be confident. You have questions where you thought you had answers. Confused, wrong choices were made. We all like to think about ourselves in the best and brightest moments, and we forget about those moments that proved we are still helpless. Since we're like sheep, we need shepherds. We need supervisors. We need guidance. We need care. And if you don't feel like you need a shepherd, then guess what you're proving? That you're a sheep. Because that's what dumb sheep think. I don't need a shepherd. I can go over here and be by myself. No matter how old or experienced the sheep may be, he or she always needs a shepherd, and so do you, because we are always helpless and desperately need God. But here's the reality, that there is more than one shepherd in this world and in our lives. We're like sheep, we need shepherds, but not all shepherds are created equal. There are good shepherds and there are bad ones. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6 tells us one thing about bad shepherds. "My people," God says, "have been lost sheep." Why? Because their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. A bad shepherd leads in the wrong direction, away from God. Ezekiel talks about bad sheep. Bad shepherds eat their sheep and don't feed them. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves, the idea they feed themselves lamb chops. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? A good shepherd feeds God's people, God's words, and meets the needs that God intends to meet through them and does not prey upon the sheep. Psalm 49:14. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. Bad shepherds allow their sheep to die in the fields and their carcasses to rot away. One experienced shepherd, again, Philip Keller, said this about bad shepherds. In my memory, I can still see on the hillside one of the sheep ranches in our district, which was operated by a tenant, a rented sheep herder. He ought never have been allowed to keep sheep. His stock was always thin, weak, and riddled with diseases and parasites. Again and again, they would come and stand at the fence, staring blankly through the woven wire at the green, lush pastures that my flock enjoyed on the other side. Had they been able to speak, I am sure they would have said, "Oh, to be set free from this awful owner." Bad shepherds take advantage of their sheep, but good shepherds take care of them at their own expense. That's why Peter gave these instructions to the shepherds, the pastors of God's people today. Feed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Pastors are God's shepherds for his people today. And every believer needs at least one shepherd. It is a sacred task to be a pastor, shepherd. And pastoring must be conducted with integrity and selfless motives. Pastors are God's shepherds. And so Peter says, should not do that role in a reluctant way, but should be willing and eager. Not doing the job just to get money, but doing it because they are enthusiastic about the work itself. They should be servant-minded, Christ-like examples, not forceful, authoritarian executives. That is what Peter says. The question for us today is, who are some examples of bad shepherds in pop culture today? Who are some bad examples of people who have oversight over people, but use that oversight for selfish purposes and destructive things? Perhaps some politicians come to mind. Shepherd is often used of politicians in the Bible. King Cyrus was called a shepherd. Shepherd and king were often equated. Talk show hosts, unfortunately, YouTube personalities, radio show hosts are often more of a shepherd in our life than we care to admit. because we listen to their voice all the time, and you cannot listen to someone's voice that frequently and not be led by them. There are more people today being pastored by people like Oprah Winfrey than should ever be. That is not the truth that she dispenses. I could name many others. That is not God's shepherd. Popular preachers who simply preach everything in the Christian life is just great big smiles, perfect white teeth, and a free parking spot for every person that God blesses. That is not a good shepherd. Then we have to ask the question, what are some good examples of good shepherds in your life? Think back, years back. Good shepherds that God has given you, perhaps, though not in every case, but perhaps that shepherd was a parent. Or a teacher in a classroom that was more than just a teacher doing a job. That teacher cared for you. And of course, pastors in the church that God has given you here and there throughout your life. In what way have people like this in your life blessed you and cared for you with the tender and truthful care that God Himself would provide? In what ways? What lessons, could you be specific, have you learned? What transformation and actual change has happened in your life as a result of the shepherds God has placed into your life? What would you be like without those influences today? That's another way of looking at it. What cliffs would you have fallen off? The Lord, though, is the ultimate shepherd. Peter says, all shepherds, even pastors, have a shepherd. The chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not a person who escapes the shepherding care in the church of the Lord. Pastors, shepherds in our lives of all kinds come and go, but Psalm 23 never changes. The Lord is my shepherd. The ultimate shepherd who cares for us all through pastors, his under-shepherds, but he also supervises them. We all are shepherded ultimately by the Lord, and we must always remember that. We're so familiar with this often repeated phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, that we're not astounded by it anymore. We're not mind blown. We're not in awe. We like its poetic sound. It has a soothing feel to it. It touches our heart. But we're on to the next verse before we have time to think about it, to chew on it. The Lord is an astounding detail. My is an incredible detail, and shepherd should blow your mind as well. That our shepherd is the Lord is astounding because he is more than just another human being. Your shepherd is the one who is the God of the universe, who hung all the stars into space and actually knows not just what a black hole really is, but how it came into existence and what's happening there. And he knows each one by name. He made the universe. He created the earth. In his mind right now, he knows literally every single being that is swimming the ocean floor. He knows all the animals in the great north woods of Canada that will be born and die in the same forest, and no person will ever see them. He knew they existed. And he cared for them. He is the God who made everything out of nothing, holds everything by the word of his power in his hand, and will judge everything in the future and remake everything better than before. There's no one greater than him. If I told you today that my personal caretaker is the president, you would find that a little backwards. But if I told you that my personal caregiver is the Lord of the universe, you should step back and say, wait, there's something wrong there. That is not right. How does that work? Oh, but it's true. He is my shepherd. This "my" is a very important word in this poem, because it means that not only does he care for everything, like a corporate CEO, he cares for everything. He doesn't just care for humanity in general as a big group, like politicians. When they send a letter to your mailbox, how do they do it? Through office personnel, and it's a template, it's a form, and the signature at the end is printed by a computer. It's a copy of their signature. It's not personal. They don't show up at your door unless they're looking for a vote, and they don't remember who you are if they do. God doesn't send templated letters to us. God ministers to us each on a personal, individualized level. The God of the universe is my personal caregiver. Custom caregiver. He is my shepherd, which is also amazing, because a shepherd, though we view a shepherd as a nice artistic idea on a picture, it's very nice and comforting and soothing, to be a shepherd was to be a very low-ranking role in society. If you said, I'm a shepherd, people would say, well, couldn't you do anything else with your life? How did you end up doing that? How did you get stuck with that job? That's also why it was so amazing and impressive and touching that the angels, the armies of the Lord of hosts, appeared to shepherds on a hillside when the Son of God came into the world. He didn't show up in the throne rooms of the political sphere and say, the king has arrived. He showed up to lowly shepherds out on a hillside that probably smelled like dirt and sweat and filthy sheep. The Lord, though, himself throughout biblical history has deliberately chosen people out of the sheep fields to rule his people. Abraham was a shepherd. His sons were shepherds, Isaac and Jacob. Moses had to learn to be a shepherd for 40 years. For some of us, for me, give it 1 year, I will have lived the total length of time it took Moses to be a shepherd. That's a long life lesson. And God wanted Moses to realize, before you lead my people in the desert to nowhere, you got to learn what it's like to be a shepherd. But here's the amazing thing. God was not teaching Moses to do something he had never done himself. He was teaching Moses to step down from the palaces of Egypt for 40 years to do what he had done as the God of the throne room of heaven for eternity. Moses stopped being a shepherd when he died, but the Lord is still my shepherd, and he will lead his flock like a shepherd into eternity, and he will never relinquish that role. And I'm glad, because I will always be weak and need his care. This past week, how would have remembering that the Lord is my shepherd have prevented you from falling into certain sin? You know your personal life, and the Lord, your shepherd, certainly knows. He was sitting on the hillside watching. You thought you were being sneaky in private. He saw. How would have remembering that, whoa, the Lord is my shepherd, prevented you from doing that? How would have that reminded you and helped you to respond to a financial pressure in a different way? You acted with anxiety and worry. But if you had known at that moment, wait, the Lord is my shepherd. What am I worrying about? We'll be fine. How would that have affected you? A difficult decision was faced. Big? Small? How would you have made that decision differently if you had remembered that the Lord was your shepherd? How about another person in your life letting you down? Someone else mistreating you or not being all that they should be for you, and the way that you responded to that let you down. But how would you have responded to that if you in that moment had realized, we're good, Lord's my shepherd, I will not want anything, I'm good. You know, people can let you down to the end of time, but if you know that the Lord is your shepherd, then let them let you down. You're good. The Lord's your shepherd. There's nothing more you need. The feelings of loneliness and despair sometimes creep over us, and that has been intensified over this whole extended COVID experience. Loneliness, depression, discouragement, isolation is an emotion that we're all still needing to realize is probably a part of our experience right now more than we understand. But if we recall that the Lord is my shepherd, how does that help? How did you act because you didn't remember this? And how might you respond to the same challenges in the week ahead by remembering this truth? The Lord is my shepherd. I'm good. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad that he is, because I am helpless and I desperately need him at all times. And he meets all my needs. He meets all of my needs. And hearing this requires us to reevaluate how we view what he has provided. I'm not going to say you do this. I'll let the Holy Spirit remind you if you do. But sometimes we look at our accomplishments and we say, I did that. Look what I did. We look at our resources and we say, I got that. Look what I got. We look at our relationships and we say, see how I worked this out? We look at our knowledge and we say, see how I figured that out? Figured that out there. We look at how we've become a better person over time. And we say sometimes, it's all glory to God, but that's often just a ruse, because inside we're still saying, look at the progress I've made. I've done a good job, right? Want here does not mean, when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it doesn't mean I'm not going to have a desire. What it means is, I don't need anything. There's nothing that I come short on. There's no pantry door that I open that's empty when the Lord is my shepherd. If it is a need, it is provided by him, and I'm good. Sometimes we put too much reliance on other people and resources and circumstances, and we look at those things and we say, I'm falling short here. I'm not getting my cut. And yet we have to step back and realize, wait a minute, but the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Everything else is extra. And even that's from God. The rest of this psalm details, and we'll look at this in the Sundays ahead throughout May, all that God does give. David remembered this. God gives us rest and peace in a noisy and turbulent world. Have you enjoyed the rest and peace of the shepherd this last week? The ability to live, verse 3, a godly life and do what is right comes from him. Safety and protection from evil, both without and within, comes from him. Verse 4. Verse 5, all material and physical needs come from him. Verse 6, a secure relationship spiritually with him forever comes from him. He covers all the bases, he meets all my needs, and I fall short in nothing. We need to live with this regular awareness, because we're entirely helpless. And we need the Lord to meet literally every single need, and He does. We're safest when we're most aware of our need. We drive more safely when we're alert to the risks involved, aren't we? We put our headphones in, turn our music up, start daydreaming about what happened at work or what's about to happen when we get home. We're upset about the traffic and we get, and then bang! Then we're jolted back to reality and we're reminded, wow, I just about died right there. I just lost about $6,000 right there. And the next time you get out in your car on the road, you're a different driver for about 2 weeks. And once the insurance stuff all dies down, you get it all tied up, you get over the frustration of the jacked rates, a month later you're back to your old ways. We drive more safely when we understand the risks that are involved, don't we? We're most careful with our resources when we have less to spend. Our wallet is safest when we're actually aware that it could be stolen. And after it's stolen, and everyone rips our credit card numbers and ID, then for the next month, we're willing to pay $100 a month for ID theft protection and all the things. We button it all up, and our wallet is under some very special protection somewhere that no one wants to say. And for about a month, we're very careful because we're aware it could be stolen, because it was. We work most safely when we're most conscious of potential hazards. They say in the lumberjacking industry that the greatest percentage of injuries with chainsaws occurs to the experienced lumberjacks. The new guys are so scared to death of cutting themselves that they don't, because they follow everything. They're so careful with what they're doing, and they lock their arm and they lock their knee and they hold it away, and all these different things are done. But it's the experienced guys have been around for decades. They're dangling up on the tree on a chain with a chainsaw like this, doing this, because they're good. They know what they're doing until they don't. And they're laying in a hospital bed, missing a part of their body that's been with them all of their life. And they realize, I was being proud. Sometimes it is the most mature Christians that are at the most risk, because we get comfortable with our maturity and we forget how helpless we are. And we need to be careful of that. But thankfully, the Lord is our shepherd. This reality helps us appreciate the fact that David wrote this psalm. And yes, I know that David, right, was a shepherd. He was a shepherd before he was a king. But as a king, he had authority over the entire nation of his people. His entire country was at his command, and he did not even have a House of Representatives or a Supreme Court or a vice president to go through. He didn't even have an electorate to worry about. He was a king. He could make commands, and what he said would happen. He was in charge of an army. He was in charge of all the wealth and the resources of the nation. And if he wanted more money, he could issue more taxes. Money was not an object. He had the power. But walking around in his chambers by himself, his thoughts were not of the power that he possessed, but of his helplessness in the presence of God. And as a king, he was like a child, basking in his helplessness. Oh, if we had presidents like this today, the world would be a different place. If we had bosses and managers like this today, it would be a better place. If we had police officers who were living in the awe of their own weaknesses and sinfulness, the world would be a better place. If churches were filled with pastors aware of this, deacons aware of this, the world would be a better place. If homes were led by men who were helpless in the sight of God, depending on the Lord as their shepherd, not their maturity as their source of wisdom, the world would be a better place. If you became the manager of your company, the wealthiest person in your company, or some role or position that is more powerful, what would that do to you? Or would you step back and say, Lord, you're still my shepherd. I'm still weak. Oh, I need you. That's the heart that we should have. Humility, not overconfidence. David, as a king, knew the Lord was his shepherd, and he needed it that way, especially as a king. Have you grown comfortable in your Christian life, confident in the wrong things? Your Bible knowledge, your spiritual fruit, your long marriage, your children, your success, God's blessing on the wise choices you've made in the past. Have you grown self-confident and comfortable? Are there ways in which you remember being very helpless, scared, afraid, and yet you channeled those feelings to trust in the Lord, and he blessed you, and he cared for you, and he guided you? Where are those feelings today? A mark of Christian maturity is that you depend on the Lord more as your shepherd, not less. You have the wrong idea about Christian growth. If you think, the more I grow as a Christian, the less I have to trust in the Lord and I can do it myself. The closer you get to the Lord, the more you're aware of how desperately you need him. You look back to when you thought you were weak and you realize, wow, I was not even close to understanding how pathetically weak I really was. And it's that 70, 80, 90-year-old, 100-year-old saint who's followed the Lord through their life who says, the Lord is my shepherd, and it means so much more than when a young 25-year-old says it, because they know how much that really means. We're always helpless. We always desperately need him, and the longer we believe on and follow the Lord as our shepherd, the more we know this is true. Today, as we begin this short series to the book of May, or to the month of May, in the chapter of Psalm 23, I want us to begin by renewing our belief that we're helpless and our confidence that the Lord is our shepherd, and that will never change. And as a result, we grow in a proper confidence of what God is doing in our lives and will do in the future. The Lord is my shepherd. I need nothing. And I can't wait to learn more about what this psalm has to say. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being our shepherd.